Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad that you're joining us today. Hope that your new year is off to a great start. And for many of you, I know this is the first week back from the holiday break, and I hope everything's going well with you and your family. I'm praying for you and praying for God's protection as we continue to navigate our way through the coronavirus. And I want you to know that God is still on the throne. Well, on this Thursday broadcast, I want to remind you that we do have an offer for you. We do have a challenge for you as we begin this new year. And here is the challenge, okay? I want to challenge you to read 5 Psalms every day throughout this new year and 1 proverb every day. So by doing that, you're going to read through the whole book of Proverbs. You're going to read through the whole book of Psalms in the year 2021. Now, if you are willing to take this challenge and you would like me to send you a weekly email update as to what God is doing and some reflections that I gain from reading these Psalms and reading these Proverbs, if you send me your email, give me your email, I'll send you a weekly email out. And I also have a gift I'd like to give you. This is a free gift to anybody on the broadcast who requests it. Now, all you have to do is you can either email me or you can call me. My email address is ccorbett, C-C-O-R-B-I-T-T, @ HRCC7.org. That stands for Hickory Ridge Community Church 7.org. And shoot me an email and say, I'd like to have the devotional book. I'll also put you on the email list so you get a weekly email from me. Now, the book that we're offering is called God's Wisdom for Navigating Life by Timothy Keller and his wife, Kathy. And this devotional will go along with our reading in the book of Proverbs, okay? So as you read through the book of Proverbs, you do a proverb a day, and then you read 1 session out of this book every day, and it's 365 days, and it won't take you more than just a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes, right, to read each devotional thought for that morning. But here's my promise to you. You'll be wiser as you end this year. You'll be more at peace as you end this year because you have spent so much time in the songs of David, the songs of Jesus, and you spent so much time gaining God's wisdom. So again, give me a call, 757-421-7500. Give me your name, your address, and we'll be happy to send this devotional book to you. Well, this week we've been talking about the gifts that God gives us. And so far we've talked about the fact that God gives us a lot of gifts. And he gives us the gift of truth, the gift of joy. Yesterday we talked about the gift of peace. And today I want to talk to you about the gift of love. Now, there's a growing body of research that demonstrates that Facebook and other social media platforms are negatively affecting our mood and our well-being. A recent study published in the American Journal for Psychology said, liking the content of others and clicking on links predicted a reduction in self-reported physical health, mental health, and satisfaction. In other words, what they're saying here is that the more time we spend on social media worrying about who likes our post and who doesn't like our post, the more it affected our physical health, our mental health, and our life satisfaction. In other words, we become very dissatisfied if we notice on our social media that we didn't get very many likes. And then we get overly satisfied if we have an abundance of people that like what we post. You see, there's also an observation that our overall well-being and quality of life is being diminished because we spend so much time on social media. Well, I want to encourage you today to lay down the phone. Don't worry about what is happening in the social media world. Think about what God is doing. Because as I told you 2 days ago, when I believe a lie, love begins to die. 1 Corinthians 13 is a powerful chapter that is called the chapter of love. Paul says, now we see these things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and it's incomplete. But then I'm going to be known as completely as I am known, just as God knows me completely. 3 things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So we're told to follow the way of love. Here is the gift of love. Now, it comes with a caution as we look at this very important subject. Now, I want you to not miss this point. Right now, when it comes to this matter of studying love and experiencing love, we don't have a clear picture. Even the most mature believer has somewhat of a fuzzy picture of what this is all about. But the more we become like Christ, the more clearly we can see the truth of love. When we think about this truth of love at salvation, the point that we became born again, we saw the light because we saw the truth and it set us free. You grew in that freedom and you grew in that truth. You grow in grace and in truth. But here is the sticking point. We know more than many, but we still are not completely giving a clear picture. You see, God knows me completely, but I don't know him completely. I can know him more and I can know him better, but on this side of heaven, I don't know him completely. Then one day I will know him completely, but not right now. I can know some things for sure, but not all things I can know for sure. So we're told to follow the way of love. It's a less clear picture, but the more we follow it, the clearer it becomes. You see, when we see dimly, we often think we see something that is not really present. We are more concerned with proving a point and winning a debate than we are in loving, and our love begins to die. Why is this so important? We're told in Galatians that we're to not grow weary in our well-doing. For in due time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those of the family of God. So we're looking at these three components, faith, hope, and love, and then we'll spend more time on that last component of love. We are told in Hebrews 11, 1, that faith is the reality of what we hope for. It is a proof of what is not seen. The Greek word there means that we have this persuasion. It is a godly persuasion, a belief, a trust, a confidence is what faith is. We are persuaded that God is who he said he is, and we're putting our confidence in him, not ourselves. The word hope is a very strong word. It's a word meaning expecting something, trusting something with confidence. In Hebrews 6:19, hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor of our souls. So our journey of faith begins with having the reality of who Christ is, putting our confidence in him, our belief in him. Hope is what continues to anchor us and gives us that trustworthy steadiness as we expect and put confidence in the future. Love, now this is real love. Love here is the agape love, which is a divine love. This is the love that God has for us. It is love that is not based on our performance, not based on our response. That would be conditional love. Love by definition is not conditional. Love is something that God gives us. God loves us. He sent his son to sacrifice for us. Love, we could say, is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, I don't know about you. I'm so thankful that God loves me even when I do stupid things, even when I do sinful things. You see, the Christian life of love is a supernatural love. It is not produced by merely human forces. It takes resources that we do not have. This is very crucial for us to admit. It's kind of humbling. Left to ourselves, we cannot love. But this is also very encouraging because it means that if we're sitting here and we're feeling unworthy, that our nature is condemning us, that we've got the fruit of the Spirit that is living within us. I want to talk to you about how we can be filled with the gift of God's love. First of all, we need to understand, what does love produce? Love gives us something. When God loved us, he gave us a family. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." And I love this. Now, if you come from a dysfunctional family, let me kind of work through some things here for you. Maybe you didn't have a good example of a loving father or a loving mother or a loving family environment. I want you to look at this verse again, 1 John 3:1. "What manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." So when we look at this, don't love the gift more than the giver. We are not to worship each other or the gifts of each other. We are to worship the Father. Not your earthly Father, your heavenly Father. In Deuteronomy 7:6, it says, "For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God, all the people of the earth. The Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure." That is an amazing phrase. God has chosen us to be part of his family, and he calls us his own special treasure. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says that when we come to Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone and all is new. That means the old family is gone and we have a new family. You know, healthy families, and I emphasize healthy versus dysfunctional families. Healthy families are started because of mutual love. We are part of the family of God because God first loved us and he made it possible for us to enter his family. He had to do a lot of changing in us in order to get us ready to join that family. He selected us to be part of that family. He said, "I want you." You think about people that get adopted. And you may feel like, man, my mom didn't want me, so I was put up for adoption. You may feel kind of low about that and feel like that somebody gave up on you. But I wanted to look at it from a different perspective. Somebody chose you. Somebody wanted to have this relationship with you, so they adopted you. They didn't have to have you in the family. They chose you to be in that family. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. They made a conscious choice, and they said, "I want you to be part of my family." You know, that's what God has done for us. He says, "I want you to be part of my family." Even before we were born, God chose us. Even before the foundation of the earth, God chose us. This is what it says in Colossians 3. You have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life. So this gift of love means that we are part of a family. That is a gift of the family. Love also gives us not only the gift of the family, but the gift of truth. Amy Wilson Carmichael said, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." You see, this truth that we're giving, it's not truth as I see it. It's truth as God declares it. God's word is truth, John 17:17. 1 John 1 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We're told in 1 Peter 4:8, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other." Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. That is the power of love. Oh, I want to encourage you today that you have an opportunity to be a blessing to others because you have received the blessing of God. Well, here's the third aspect of this gift of love. Not only does love give us a family, not only does love give us truth, but we learn today from God's word that love gives the gift of purpose. 1 Peter 1:18, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from that empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver." Now, this is pretty interesting when you think about this. God talks about the fact that a ransom was paid to save us from that empty life that we inherited from our ancestors. So I guess in a way we could say, every single one of you listening to this broadcast today, and even the guy speaking today, comes from a highly dysfunctional family. Because both my parents were sinners and both your parents were sinners. We inherited from our ancestors this empty life. But now a ransom was paid, not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now we have purpose. Our purpose is to reflect that glory of God in everything that we do, say, and think. You see, a lack of purpose in your life can prove to be deadly. There's a story about a community prayer breakfast that was being held, and there's a group of men that gathered around to pray, and a particular pastor was in that group, and in the course of the conversation, the subject of retirement came up. The man sitting next to the pastor appeared to be in his early 50s, and he was quite excited about the prospect of retirement. He says, well, how much that he was looking forward to the end of his career, and it dominated much of the conversation. He said, well, I had a conversation with my wife today, and my wife asked, well, what are you going to do when you retire? I told her I'm going to go and sit on the couch, and I'm going to watch TV all day long, every single day. The table was silent, but the pastor couldn't help but be quiet for so long, and he says, well, if you do that, you'll be dead within a year. He looked in this wide-open way and says, I'll be dead within a year. You see, the lack of purpose in your life doesn't kill you immediately, but kills you eventually. I want to encourage you today to be a purposeful person. In Colossians chapter 1, we're told to give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. What a powerful purpose we have to reflect the glory of God by telling everybody about what God has done in our lives. Marvel Films has done an amazing job, and they have a star who was starring in the Black Panther. And the whole Black Panther is that death is always shocking, but the actor who played that part passed away, and as he passed away, everybody was shocked. You see, while he was filming that blockbuster films and others like 21 Bridges and The Avengers and Infinity War, Black Panther and Marshall, Boseman was undergoing treatments for stage 3 colon cancer. He knew something about trials, and he shared this wisdom as he was going under these treatments in a commencement that he was addressing at his alma mater, Howard University. Sometimes he says you need to feel the pain and the sting of defeat to activate the real passion and the purpose that God has predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Later he concluded, you would rather find purpose than a job or career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of who you are. It is the reason you are on this planet at this particular time in history. You and your very existence is wrapped up in the things of your purpose. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. And then he concludes by saying this, when God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. God will move someone that's holding you back away from that door and put there somebody who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, he says, but if you are willing to take that harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures than successes at first, then you will ultimately see God brings about victory, more glory, and you will not regret it. Following the purpose of God is driven out of a love for him. Which leads me to the fourth purpose, or the first understanding of what love gives to us. Love gives us the gift of eternal life. You see, we get so caught up in the nasty now and now that we don't spend enough time thinking about life after. In fact, we tend to ignore the life to come. When I think about being ready for the future, are you prepared for the future? Are you ready for what's going to happen in your future? We know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I know it's hard to think about eternity because we are so stuck on the nasty now and now, but what helps us to remember is that as we are passing through, life is very brief. You know, the older I get, it seems like I'm transitioning, right? Not only is my body breaking down, but it seems like in my early years of doing ministry, I did a lot of weddings, and I did a lot of baby dedications, and then I started doing weddings again of the children that I married 20 years ago or 25 years ago. And now I'm getting to the point where it seems like I do more funerals. And as you think about that, it's as you get older, more and more of your friends pass off. And it just reminds me of how brief life is. You know, when you think about Esau, Esau was a central character in the book of Genesis. And we read about his birth in chapter 25, and we read about his actions and his threats. And as we think about Esau, he's mentioned 168 times just in chapters 25 through 36 in the book of Genesis. He's a guy that is mentioned over and over and over again. As we look at his life on a closer view, we discover that God had promised that the offsprings of Jacob were going to be blessed, but Esau's was not going to be blessed. And we looked at his life and we see how Esau at the beginning was much more successful than Jacob, his brother. They both had large flocks and they both had many children, but Esau had established his presence in the land with a strong and natural defense. But in just a few years, his descendants became kings and ruling over powerful kingdoms. And at the same time, Jacob's descendants flee during a drought and they end up as slaves in Egypt. So for several hundreds of years, the descendants of the son who rejected his birthright appear to be more powerful, have more wealth, have more influence, and more descendants than the son chosen by God. The brother who never gives a thought to God's establishment of his kingdom seems to be blessed more than the brother who obeyed. However, history reveals that God did something much different. You think about obedience. Does obedience pay? It sure doesn't seem to pay in the life of Jacob, particularly when compared with Esau. But the Bible gives us two answers to this question. First, God's perspective is not limited only to a few hundred years. God's perspective is of all time. We tend to think on the linear of time, but God thinks in eternity. So about 800 years after the events of Jacob and Esau, the descendants of Jacob, led by David, will conquer the descendants of Esau. And about 200 years after that, the kingdom of Edom will be completely destroyed, as prophesied by Obadiah. You see, God knows that, and he knows the future, and he knows how it's going to all unfold. And he ensures us that it will come to pass. Now, friends, we must not look at the results of the obedience in our own lifetime only. Indeed, our perspective must be on the eternal one. One day, all wrongs will be right. And one day, God is going to bring about the promises that he promised that will happen in the end. That those who reject God will indeed suffer punishment, while those who seek his face, not leaning on their own understanding or their own obedience, but leaning on the blood of Jesus Christ to cover their sins, will spend eternity with him, delighting in him and coming and spending all of eternity with him. You see, that's the joy that we have as followers of Christ. I know sometimes it may feel like we're on the losing side. Jesus encountered that with his disciples. That's why as he gathered them around just before he was going to ascend up into heaven, he reminded them of these very important truths. He says to his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust God and trust me also." He says, "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything's ready, I'll come again and I'll get you so that you will always be with me wherever I am." You know, that promise still holds true for us today. Can you imagine what those mansions are going to look like? For over 2,000 years, Jesus has been working on our mansion. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And in this time of preparation, these are going to be beautiful palaces for us to live in, beautiful mansions for us to live in. I am so looking forward to that time. As a matter of fact, that is what energizes me to keep on keeping on, even when it feels like I'm on the losing team. So many times people say, "Well, you're on the wrong side of history." No, if you're telling the story of Christ, you're telling his story, you're always going to be on the right side of history. You may be rejected temporarily, but we are working for the advancement of a kingdom that will never end. Well, today as we wrap up our broadcast, I want to remind you of the offer that I made at the beginning of the broadcast. I so encourage you to be in God's Word. If you'd like to have that free devotional by Dr. Timothy Keller, please call me 757-421-7500. I will get that into the mail to you. and I'll be praying for you. If you'd like to receive the weekly emails that I'll be sending out, just email me at ccorbett, C-C-O-R-B-I-T-T, at hrcc7.org, and I'll add you to that list. Well, thank you so much for listening today and tuning into the broadcast. We are so glad that we're starting a new year together, and we're trusting God to do amazing things as we begin this new year. And in the final moments of this broadcast, if I can help you with anything, please feel free to contact me. If you're looking for a place to worship, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10:30. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.